Welcome to Go Home Heat. This will be our G1 final review. This is the New Japan Jared review along with Lit Nick, Ray, and yours truly, KP. Jared, what did we see? What happened? What did you think about it?
Well, we saw the final for the G1 29. It was Ibushi versus Jay White. Instant classic. I liked it a lot, actually. And also on the card, we saw the biggest thing was the Kenta heel turn into Bullet Club. And Shibata running out there, starting throwing forearms. First thing, no questions asked. It was amazing.
Throwing feet.
Now, we've had different people, Meltzer being one, have talked about the impact of this heel turn. Can you explain to us why this matters in the New Japan realm?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So Shibata's been a fairly contentious character in New Japan. He left when the company was doing badly in the, like, late 2000s, somewhere around there. And then he returned when they were doing better. He went and had a fairly unsuccessful MMA career, or I think it was kickboxing or something like that. But he also wrestled for Pro Wrestling Noah with Kenta back in, like, the early 2000s to, like, before 2000. He was in a tag team with Kenta. And you'll see that they borrow from each other's movesets liberally, like the corner drop kick, the choke hold, the penalty kick. All that stuff is just stuff that they really...
shared movesets.
Yeah, they pretty much have the exact same moveset. So this is huge. This is a absolute betrayal of a 20-year friendship of Shibata, like, basically rehabbing and getting Kenta back into shape for the G1.
Now, how did Kenta go heel?
Kenta went heel by turning against the people he was tagging with, Ishii and Yoshihashi, openly attacking Ishii, which is, you know, going to be a bad idea in about a couple weeks when Ishii starts wailing on him. But and then he helped the Bullet Club, who were his opponents in the match, win the match. And then afterwards...
He actually helped God.
Yes, he helped God.
Gorillas of Destiny.
Absolutely. Tama Tonga needed it after that that gun stun on Yoshihashi.
Oh, man, his head was right there, and I grabbed the air next to his head.
He was going like 25 miles an hour, and Yoshihashi was just like, oh, jeez.
That was awesome. Because he usually tries to get as much air as he can at the gun stun. He just flew right past him and got air on air.
Yeah.
When so, epic goes epically bad.
It's more like it's a back. It's like throw my back into you.
So there's a tag. So there's a tag match.
Yes.
And things aren't going well for Gorillas of Destiny, and Kenta goes in, jumps on.
Jumps Ishii, hits him with a Bisaigo knee, I think it's called. It's a jumping knee strike that Daniel Bryan does, I know. He hits him with that, and then he hits him with the go to sleep on Ishii. And then Tama Tonga just, you know, he slithers in like he always does and goes for the pin.
And then comes
after
to the rescue.
Yes. I don't think he's rescuing anyone. I think that's very much a vengeance-based, right. I'm just going to go out there and start throwing it. But... after Kenta asks for a mic, he never gets a chance to speak because Katsuyori Shibata, a long-lost, very much missed, strong-style hero, comes out and just, again, immediately, no hesitation, he slides in the ring, like no time has passed, and then just starts lighting him up.
And for the impact of the moment, he's a wrestler who's not medically cleared, so when he jumps in there and starts throwing hands, he's putting himself at risk.
It has been about...
Both shoot and work.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been over 2 years since Katsuyori Shibata wrestled his final match against Okada at Sakura Genesis 2017. That would be the match that ended his career. His time in the return to New Japan, he was very much like Kenta in the fact that he was kind of hated at first because he left. Mm-hmm. He left when the company could have used him the most. He was one of the three musketeers, the new generation of three musketeers, along with Tanahashi and Nakamura. He was one of them, and then he just bounces when the company's not doing well. And he comes back, and he had to like strive and earn every single bit of respect that he could at any point in time, whether it be against Tanahashi and the other wrestlers or just the crowd in general. The crowd loves Shibata, like regardless of... like, who he was up against, if he was being the heel or not, in that situation, everyone loves Shibata. And to see him end his own career against Okada is just absolutely tragic.
Okay, okay. Now, they're saying that this is one of the biggest angles since Hogan goes heel with the New World Order and all that. And you agree with that? You think it's that big of a deal?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, absolutely.
For New Japan.
Yeah, absolutely. With how much Shibata is loved and, again, missed, you saw how crazy they went when he started doing his moves. When he
rips his shirt off. We're going to get into this a little further on down the road, but big weekend for the Bullet Club.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Jay White getting in the finals, Kenta coming back. Or not coming back, I guess.
Joining up.
They have two legitimate heavyweights. They still have the legitimate lighter guy. They still have the tag team. They got the big monster to back them up. They're looking good. Okay. Now, you want to talk a little bit more about just what got us to the final, and then we'll go through the final?
Yeah, absolutely. So the final matches of both blocks ended up being the deciding factors because, you know, that's dramatic. It's very dramatic. It's how it works out.
Almost like it was scripted.
Almost.
Hey.
It's still real to me.
It's still real to me, absolutely. It ended up being Naito versus White, with White, unfortunately, coming out on top. I love Jay White, don't get me wrong, but I would have really loved for it to have been my boy Naito. Regardless, White wins, and he goes on to the finals, and then the final match of the A block was going to be Ibushi versus Okada. That was a really fun match. I didn't think it hit the fifth year that I know these guys can go to, but because of who won the whole thing, I can see why they would be.
Maybe we'll see it again, right?
Yeah, I mean that's going to be January 4th at the Tokyo Dome.
Now, what did you come up with for Naito?
We'll get to that once we get past the final.
Okay, now we're moving on to the final.
Yeah, I'm moving on to the final. Ibushi comes out of that match with Okada, headed to the finals for the second year in a row. He lost last year versus Tanahashi. This year, however, he comes out on top of Jay White. Jay White tries his best to do his dastardly heel tactics. Gato comes out looking like a supervillain, trying to put one over on Ibushi. It was good. I think he really enjoys that role. But regardless, Ibushi hits two Kamigoyes in a row. Really kills him on the second one, too. The first one looked like he kind of didn't hit him as well, but the second one, he killed him with it. And he comes out as the G1 Climax 29 winner.
Now, going through the match a little bit more specifically, since it was the final, maybe we should break it down a little bit more. The spectacle of the whole thing, you have it being the final, you have the entire Bullet Club with their new member coming down to ceremony, you have the official saying, new.
No.
My boy Red Shoes.
Red Shoes, not having it. Red Shoes. Enemy of the Bullet Club. Right. He's had enough of
them. That's the official if you're new to New Japan. Red Shoes is the official of this particular match, and he is his own character in his own right.
He adds a lot of character to the match, and he really did with this one, too, because he just immediately tosses Bullet Club out. Except for Gato, who pleads to Red Shoes that he will just stay in his corner.
And he gets to stay there for almost 2.5 more minutes before he's ejected, right?
I don't even know if it was like 2.5.
Yeah, right. It was like 2 minutes.
He straight up grabs Ibushi's ankle, full view of Red Shoes. He also gets tossed out.
And before we get started, it's mano on mano for just a little while.
For a little while. Eventually.
It's like 15 minutes.
That's actually fair. They go it for at least 10-15 minutes.
One-on-one.
One-on-one. And then White, it pushes Ibushi into Red Shoes. And Red Shoes, obviously made out of paper, falls to the ground.
Completely unconscious.
Completely unconscious.
For the run-in.
He needs, like, an ice pack and some ibuprofen. Get that boy some
juice! Okay.
But Gato comes.
We'll get the juice.
Oh, yeah.
Gato comes swaggering back in, smile on his face. Jay White, you know, pretty much immediately low blows Ibushi. I mean,
vintage.
Right, of course.
If you're going to do it, you got to do it like first thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Maybe go for a couple times. But anyways, Gato comes crawling back in, and he holds Ibushi down for White to further attack Ibushi's previously injured ankle. Because that was a big thing during the match, was working over Ibushi's leg and ankle.
Right. Red Shoes is rolled back into the ring. as Jay White has him in the
TTO, the move he created specifically to tap out Tanahashi, the Tanahashi tap out. Get it?
I do.
Oh,
get
they said the TTO.
GTO, like Goto tap.
It's like
out.
A no, no, it's it, like wait. A reverse figure four. It's nasty.
It's an inverted figure four. It is indeed a nasty looking move. Mm-hmm. He kind of switches the name around based on his opponent. It was originally for Tanahashi,
which does hamper the myth that you can flip the figure four over and it reverses the pressure, which has been timeless and is now over.
I don't know if you flip
Jay White, myth breaker.
That's right.
Myth killer. Yeah. Wait a second.
Legend killer.
But I actually do wonder if you flip that over. I don't think anyone has, because, I mean, how? Like, even more so than the figure four, it's just...
I almost thought he was going to. He kind of did a wiggle like he was going to try to flip it over, and I was like, well, wait a minute. That's the entire Ric Flair spot in reverse that I've seen for 30, but it didn't wind up happening. He got to the rope and held it. I digress.
Yeah, I just don't see how. I mean, the way he's positioned is just like, how would you even flip him over? He's like flat on his back, that base. Yeah. But regardless.
If you tried to flip over, you just end up twisting your back.
And that too. Like, maybe it's worse. Right. Maybe that's the true secret. Jay White's so smart that he created a move that when you try to invert it, flip it over, it's actually 10 times worse.
The counter is actually the tap.
That's powerful. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. That's the smartness that here. Jay White brings to the ring.
So now, building towards the finish, what happened?
Ibushi gets to the ropes from the TTO and forced break and all that. And as the match goes on, Gato is, first of all, he's straight up hiding from Red Shoes in the corner,
right,
squatting down, trying to stay out of his sight line, which is very amusing. But eventually, Jay White gets tangled up with Red Shoes in the corner, and Gato slithers in yet again, trying, probably with brass knuckles, trying to get a move in on Ibushi, but he gets immediately kicked in the head. Just dropped out, immediately kicked in the head, he's done.
Completely unconscious.
Completely unconscious.
Red Shoes
turns, sees, why is he here? I kicked him out.
Yeah, eventually it gets to the point where Ibushi kicks Jay White in the head too. Big kicks.
Rocky Romero, didn't he drag him out?
Yeah, Red Shoes just signals for specifically Rocky. He's pointing at Rocky, who has had problems in and out with Gato the entire tournament.
Gato, but is not a referee in any way.
No, absolutely not.
He's a rapper.
He's
a terrible one.
Okay, whoa.
Let's not do this right now.
Okay.
Wow.
Brutal, savage. But Rocky, who has been taunted and attacked by Jay White and Gato whole tournament long, hates him to death, gets to roll Gato out and tosses him on the side, still completely unconscious. And that happens, and the match goes on and on. Jay White's just flat out a good wrestler, so he can still win. By no stretch of the imagination is he out if he stops cheating. He's killer. He straight up, out of nowhere, pretty much hits Ibushi with a Blade Runner.
But he can't get the pin, though. He's just wiped out.
He wastes so much time, because again, he was kicked in the head. Turns out getting kicked in the head like 3 or 4 times in a row, that's like bad for you.
Huh.
Wait. Now, I've watched Young Buck matches. And I'm pretty sure that being kicked in the head isn't even a setup move.
You just immediately do another move right after you get kicked in the head, and you kick them in the head. That's like
super kick party.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Sound like a finisher. It sounds like fun.
I know, that's wild. It must be because they're super weak and can't kick very well.
Oh no. Oh.
Kota Ibushi is a trained kickboxer who actually has a straight up shoot record. I don't think it's very good, but
alright, now let's go back to the match. Sorry about shooting right there. Shooting on a buck.
Hunting, you might say.
All right, let's go back. So he's crawling over to make the pin. He thinks he has wrist position, and
Ibushi kicks out. Ibushi gets a couple of let's just call them what they are. They're V triggers. They're jumping knee strikes. They're V triggers.
A lot of back and forth, real quick. You had the quick Jay White. Sleeper suplexes.
Oh, yeah, those back and forth. God, he kills him with them. Mm-hmm. Ibushi, the one where he, like, bridges himself with his neck is crazy.
Right.
He was obviously supporting himself with his arm, but he straight up, like, bridges himself with his neck. It's unbelievable.
It doesn't look
pleasant. That's not an angle. That's not an angle that the body should be at.
And then he finishes them with a couple of...
Kamigoyes. It means to surpass God or to send to God. I've heard a couple different translations.
Send to God!
I mean, that's what kami means. Kami means God. And then goye obviously means send to or surpass. Chris Charlton was talking about how...
Wasn't obvious to me.
Chris Charlton was talking about it in the Tanahashi match with Ibushi, where the kamigoye means to surpass God, and he like surpassed his own God, which is just, that was my favorite match of the tournament. I can't resist talking about it. But regardless, the final, not my favorite match, but still an incredible match.
Very good. I'd heard that it wasn't that great from some people, and then we're watching it, and I'm like, why was this match not great again?
I don't know.
It seemed to me, I'm a white mark anyway, but it just, they did a good job of telling the story, and white, in contrast to a lot of matches, spent a lot of time without people helping him, which he's really good at too, and you don't see as much. So I thought that was good back and forth. And you got your hero goes over, he gets to tell the story of fighting from the bottom, and he gets to go over, and he goes on to face.
He will challenge for the heavyweight championship at the Wrestle Kingdom show on January 4th, I believe they said, because Wrestle Kingdom is going to be a two-night event.
Which is what this month-long 573-hour tournament imagined to.
Yes, that is the prestigious prize for winning the G1, is getting a shot at the heavyweight belt at Wrestle Kingdom.
Awesome.
Now, that won't, depending on what happens, it's 99% of the time going to be Okada still, but... It is challenging specifically for the heavyweight belt, whoever has it at that point in time.
Well, let's do a couple of quick takeaways of what we think the G1 established this year. Because of a lot of storytelling, like I said, it was a lot of wrestling. I've personally never seen this much wrestling for a single tournament, because I didn't really know about the G1. I knew about the G1, but I didn't sit there and watch it like I should have. And now, so... One, do we think that the final of the G1, are these the two guys that they want to be the rivals going forward once
like Tanahashi kind of gets phased out? Mm-hmm. I feel like this tournament was big in actually phasing Tanahashi out, just because, like, I
don't Okada know. Too. Like, are these guys the cusp of...
Okada's like 31.
So...
He's got 10 years still. Kota Ibushi's actually 5 years older than Okada. He's 36.
Wow.
Yeah, Jay White's only like 27 or whatever.
Right.
I think they want Jay White to absolutely be like the future, and they want Ibushi to be like the next year, basically. You know what I mean? The next couple of years being a lot about Ibushi.
I feel like they want Jay White to be the future in that they want Jay White to be the guy getting pinned by whoever the future is going for. Well, that's a heel's job, right?
Yeah, that's exactly.
If you're a good bad guy, that's your job, to be the guy that puts over the guy. All the time.
Yeah, he's gotten plenty of wins, too. He's had a IWGP heavyweight title reign.
And there aren't a lot of those.
Yeah, no. I mean, if you look through the history, you'll see a couple of flubs, and you can point them out, but the vast majority of them have been, like, real prestigious wrestlers. Chono, Inoki, obviously, was the first one. Just Nakamura, everyone. Everyone who was anyone, who was, like, the top star of the company, basically, had it.
Okay, I want to talk about a couple of different things, but... One thing I really want to talk about is strange for, like, maybe for an American audience, is the Juice Mox match, which was just in the middle of a huge tournament. But I found it interesting that the way the match got over, the Juice got over in the match, was he would take the table, put it back under the ring. He would take the chair, throw it away from the ring. Now, in the match, Mox's reputation, he wants violence, and they're fighting in the ring, and it's all fair and square, and then Mox gets mad because things didn't go his way for a second, so he pulls out a table, and Juice puts it up, and so he pulls out a chair, and Juice puts it up, and the crowd was popping for Juice wanting to fight fair and square, and there's no way that works in Chicago. No. There's no way that works in New York or New Orleans or down here in Pensacola, Florida. You know,
Europe. Too. Just
could you imagine? Yeah. Could you imagine a put up the tables chant anywhere
no
in the States?
No more tables,
right? Come on, I mean that would never happen, and yet it was so over there because there's a legitimacy. I want to see a legit finish.
Like, I want you to win by using what resources you have available at your body. You know, your move set, your strength, your fighting spirit.
By the same token, if Mox had won out his way, then, and put him through a table, that they wouldn't have been mad about that. They would have popped for that too. But it was interesting to me that they did that. Now, who do you think came out of this thing? We talked about it a little bit last time. Who do you think really came out of this thing shining?
Juice, hands down.
Because of that last match, or just because of the whole month?
I think because of the whole month. He had a handful of bangers with people. But yeah, Juice mainly because of that last match.
Right.
And if I had to pick a second one, Shingo.
And you took my two choices, I was going to say.
Dude, Shingo got buried this entire tournament.
Well, he pulled it off at the end there. Are you kidding me? Put out Ishii. He took out Ishii.
Isn't that an interesting thing about this tournament, though? You can lose six matches and have one really great one, and you walk away from it thinking...
I don't think...
That's what I'm trying to say. I don't think that, just because you lose a bunch of matches doesn't necessarily mean you're getting buried, depending on A, how you lose, and B, who you eventually beat. It's about the journey.
That's a think piece in its own, that losing isn't necessarily being buried.
Yeah, we might talk about the whole recent stuff going on SmackDown, but I felt like that's a very similar thing that happened with Shingo and, Taichi or something, but now seeing those two finally win some matches at the end here, it's like...
Did Mox lose out?
What do you mean?
Did he lose out? Did he lose his last three matches or three out of four?
Yeah, he lost his last four.
Lost his last four matches. And I don't feel like that hurt him at all in the States or over there.
Nope.
Absolutely not.
Which, you know, if that happened on, like you said, if that happened on SmackDown, come on, dude. We'd be killing him. But then again, too, you're not wrestling the other nine best wrestlers in the country, in a company for a month. You know what I mean? But it's still pretty interesting.
Not for as long as well.
That you can lose. Ray, who stood out for you?
Probably Cobb and Juice, mostly because Cobb found a way to keep losing and somehow just still have the opportunity to be pushed as a monster.
Still real strong fella. Got to toss people around.
Now going into it, who were your guys that you thought, okay, he's going to be a lightning bolt?
Jay White for sure. And then he lost his first three, which was funny. I was really going to put him in at least contention for the finals, but...
And he got there.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, absolutely. I could just list the other, top guys in New Japan.
And Ibushi. I thought Ospreay was going to be a lightning bolt this month. I thought Mox, obviously. I did not, but... They both got over. They both did really well. They both had big matches. But the star to me was Archer. I felt like I didn't know who he was coming in. I wound up Googling him, you know, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember him. I've seen him wrestling here and here. Okay, he's a different guy now. He's a better wrestler. He's a different guy. I feel like Juice is a better wrestler now than he was 4 weeks ago.
Absolutely. It turns out if you change your hairstyle, you become a better wrestler.
I feel like the G1 just does that because you wrestle all the best in the company in such a short amount of time. It's basically thrown into the fire. Either you can, run with the big dogs or you can't.
Well, like you said, too, with Mox, you want to talk about how he was purchasing books and learning moves as the tournament's going on, and we saw it in his last match.
Yeah, I thought that was so cool. It's just, he's been posting on Twitter all upside down images, which is weird. I don't know if you guys have noticed that. He posts pictures of just him purchasing old magazines and videotapes of Japanese legends and stuff like that. And he's just learning. He's always learning. He just has this fire in him where he's just striving to keep learning. Which is so invigorating to see, just him really out there living his best life.
Right, absolutely. And to see him in a match and all of a sudden, as we've seen his character from pre-NXT or whatever they call...
FCW? Something?
Yeah, FCW. Yeah. Pre that to Dean Ambrose to this character he has now where he's jumping guys on AEW television... You didn't see him do a whole lot of rolling around and putting guys in leg locks or ankle locks or any of that. And to see him try that a month into this tournament, it's really neat to see him growing.
Yeah, he doesn't just, he doesn't go in there, kick him in the chest and hit him with dirty deeds. He puts him in just really, again, I want to know what that weird leg hold is where he kind of throws himself down. He was really relishing that moment, too, where the crowd was hanging on to him and he was really... right. bringing him in.
And he's able to do that now, which there was a time when he couldn't do that. Okay, do we have any final thoughts about this wonderful month we've spent?
Well, I guess I'll start. This is my first real G1. I've sat through and watched all of them, or most of them at the very least, in order. And let me just tell you, right off the bat, you know, tournaments, I've discovered, as I kind of figured, are very fun with wrestling. They're very fun. Draining. 3 hours every other day of my life. But they're fun. They're good. I enjoy them. Another thing is, in regards to New Japan, is the fact that I feel like after Kenny left, there was this big Kenny-sized hole that the company was going to have to fill, and I was worried, how are you going to fill that up? And after this tournament, after seeing like all these stars we mentioned, like Kenta, we brought up, Mox, we brought up Osprey. Jay White, Osprey, that Juice. They're going to be fine, is what I'm trying to say.
Almost,
I think they're going to be fine.
Almost like he's not all that.
Ooh, that's interesting.
No, that's not what you were saying.
That's not what I was
That's what
saying.
I got out of what you said. Man. I'm sorry. That wasn't what I think.
I don't
want to
just
would.
Open okay. my door when I move into my new apartment and just have like Kenny Omega just V-trigger me. I don't.
That's what you get.
Okay. He's the cleaner.
Ray, do you have any thoughts on this thing?
It was pretty cool.
Pretty cool. 12 hours a weekend, 4 weeks. Pretty cool. Sums it up in a nutshell. New Japan, Jerry, what you got?
I, unsurprisingly, thought it was very good. Best month of wrestling out of the year since last year's G1, which was my first one, and this will be my second one, and I think that they were about the same. Maybe this one got the edge because of how many stars it made. I think that's the most important thing.
Do you have a theory about where this could be leading?
So my theory, a huge Naito mark, biggest Naito mark in this room, for certain, Ibushi said in one of his post-match things or in the press conference the next day that he wanted to challenge for the heavyweight title on the first night of Wrestle Kingdom, and then on the second night of Wrestle Kingdom that he would challenge for the Intercontinental title. Now, all I'm saying is that if you wanted to make boatloads of money, that your main event for the day two Tokyo Dome show, Naito with the Intercontinental title, Ibushi with the heavyweight title, for all the marbles, for both belts.
I thought your original theory was that Kota Ibushi was going to literally die from the casino.
Listen,
would have to relinquish the belt to Tetsuya Naito. Oh.
That could still happen.
I've been so scared with these two's matches that I am legitimately a little worried about what a Tokyo Dome show would look like for them.
It'll be fine. Just a few concussions here and there.
Horrifying. But I just really want Naito to have the big belt again and have that real big crowning moment, because I think that it would be a great cap to his story. But at the same time, I accept that that story can possibly wait for longer and may need a bit of a bigger build. Because if he straight up doesn't win the G1, then like what's the point, you know? And not exactly that, but it would be more powerful if he were to win the G1 and then finally get that moment, that crowning moment against Okada.
What you're saying is, to quote the great Thespian Dolph Ziggler, "It should have been me!"
Yeah, Naito is known for saying that in English.
All right. Then for New Japan, Jared, Lit Nick, Ray, and myself, this is Go Home Heat. Signing off air, copyright 2019.
Go home.